Before we dive in, I want to let you know that this episode is entirely AI-generated, including the voices you're hearing. We're also brought to you by Think Tank Energy Pods, the fictional caffeine capsules for deep intellectual focus that definitely don't exist in real life. Please remember that some information here might be inaccurate, so do double-check anything important. Welcome to Literary Conversations. I'm Sarah Chen, and today we're exploring Kurt Vonnegut's final novel, Timequake, published in 1990.
Thanks for having me, Sarah. I'm Michael Rodriguez, and I've been teaching Vonnegut for over 20 years.
Timequake is such a unique book in Vonnegut's catalog. It's part memoir, part science fiction, part meditation on free will.
It really is Vonnegut's farewell letter to literature. He originally tried to write a conventional novel called Timequake 1, but abandoned it.
Instead, he gives us this hybrid work that blends autobiography with fiction. He's remarkably honest about his struggles as a writer.
The central premise involves a cosmic hiccup that forces everyone to relive the decade from 1991 to 2000 exactly as before.
During this rerun, people become aware observers of their own lives, but can't change anything. Free will is temporarily suspended.
Vonnegut uses this sci-fi concept to explore his deepest concerns about human agency and the nature of storytelling itself.
What makes this book so compelling is how personal it gets. Vonnegut doesn't hide behind his fictional persona here.
He talks about his depression, his writer's block, his family. It's raw in a way his earlier work rarely was.
The book also serves as a retrospective on his entire career. He revisits characters from previous novels.
Kilgore Trout returns one final time, and we get glimpses of characters from Breakfast of Champions and other books.
For readers new to Vonnegut, this works as both an entry point and a capstone. You don't need the full bibliography to appreciate it.
But if you know his work, there's an extra layer of poignancy seeing him say goodbye to these creations.
Let's talk about how this world functions. The Timequake itself is presented as a literal cosmic event.
The universe suffers what Vonnegut calls a cosmic belch, and suddenly everyone is stuck reliving 10 years.
But they're conscious during this rerun. They remember making choices but can't deviate from them.
It's a brilliant metaphor for how trapped we can feel by our past decisions, our habits, our circumstances.
The real crisis comes when the rerun ends. Suddenly people have free will again, but they've forgotten how to use it.
Vonnegut calls this post-timequake apathy, or PTA. People are paralyzed by the return of choice.
Cars crash because drivers forget they need to steer. It's chaos when agency returns.
This speaks to Vonnegut's long-standing fascination with human adaptability and our relationship to free will.
The structure itself mirrors this theme. Vonnegut jumps between memoir, fiction, and philosophical reflection.
He's deliberately breaking the conventional rules of novel writing, exercising his own free will as an author.
The pacing is conversational, almost rambling at times. It feels like sitting with Vonnegut as he thinks out loud.
That's intentional. He's rejecting the polished, structured approach he felt trapped by in his earlier career.
Now let's dig into the characters. Obviously, Vonnegut himself is the central figure.
He presents himself with remarkable honesty. We see his struggles with depression, his creative blocks, his aging body.
He talks about his suicide attempt in 1984, his time in a mental hospital. There's no romanticizing the artist's struggle here.
But there's also humor and warmth. He writes lovingly about his extended family, his relationships with other writers.
Kilgore Trout appears as both fictional character and surrogate for Vonnegut's own artistic anxieties.
In the Timequake scenario, Trout becomes the hero who helps humanity regain its will to choose.
Trout tells people, "You were sick, but now you're well again, and there's work to do." It's a call to action.
This reflects Vonnegut's own sense of responsibility as a writer to help readers navigate difficult times.
We also meet members of Vonnegut's real family, his daughter Lily, his son Mark, his wife Jill.
These aren't just cameos. He explores his relationships with genuine depth, admitting his failures as a father and husband.
The character of Xanthia appears as Trout's caretaker. She represents a kind of practical wisdom.
She's unimpressed by grand philosophical concepts, but skilled at the daily work of caring for another human being.
This tension between abstract thinking and practical living runs throughout the book.
Vonnegut seems to value both the big questions and the small acts of kindness equally.
There's also Monica Pepper, the science fiction writer who represents a younger generation of artists.
Through her, Vonnegut explores what it means to pass the torch, to trust that others will continue the work.
The relationships between these characters reveal different approaches to meaning-making.
Some find purpose in art, others in service, others simply in enduring with grace.
Vonnegut doesn't privilege any single approach. He's genuinely curious about how different people find their way.
The character interactions also show his evolution as a writer. He's less cynical here, more genuinely affectionate.
Even when he's critical of someone's choices, there's usually an underlying compassion.
This extends to how he treats his younger self and his past mistakes. There's forgiveness alongside the regret.
Let's explore the themes. Free will versus determinism is obviously central.
But Vonnegut approaches this ancient philosophical question through very personal, concrete examples.
He talks about his mother's suicide, wondering whether she had any real choice given her mental illness.
The timequake literalizes this question. What if we could see our lives as predetermined but still feel responsible?
There's also a deep meditation on the purpose of art and literature.
Vonnegut keeps returning to the question of whether writing actually helps anyone or if it's just self-indulgence.
He quotes his recurring phrase, "so it goes," but here it feels less like fatalism and more like acceptance.
The theme of legacy runs throughout. What do we leave behind? How do we measure a life's worth?
He's clearly thinking about his own mortality and what his work has meant.
But he's also interested in smaller legacies, acts of kindness, moments of connection, daily decencies.
The motif of awakening appears repeatedly. Characters must wake up to their own agency.
This connects to Vonnegut's Buddhist interests and his belief in mindful attention to the present moment.
There's a recurring emphasis on the phrase, listen. He wants us to pay attention to each other.
The theme of addiction surfaces too. Vonnegut writes honestly about his own struggles with alcohol and cigarettes.
He sees addiction as another form of surrendered will, another way we give up our freedom to choose.
But again, there's compassion rather than judgment. He understands why people seek escape.
The book also grapples with American culture at the end of the 20th century.
Vonnegut sees a society increasingly automated, where people feel less and less agency over their lives.
The timequake becomes a metaphor for modern alienation. We're observers of our own lives rather than active participants.
Technology, consumer culture, corporate power, all these forces seem to reduce human choice.
Yet Vonnegut maintains hope in individual human connection and creativity.
Small acts of rebellion matter. Writing a story, helping a neighbor, choosing kindness over cruelty.
The theme of time itself is complex here. It's not just about reliving the past.
Explores how memory shapes identity, how the present is always colored by what came before.
The circular structure of the book mirrors this. Past and present blur together in his narrative.
He's showing us that linear time might be less important than we think.
Let's talk about Vonnegut's craft here. The style is deliberately loose, conversational.
He abandons the tight plotting of his earlier novels for something more meandering and personal.
The voice is unmistakably his, wry, self-deprecating, but with moments of genuine tenderness.
He uses his signature techniques, short paragraphs, simple sentences, that distinctive rhythm.
But there's less of the bitter irony that marked books like Slaughterhouse-Five. This feels more genuinely reflective.
The structure is fascinating. He weaves between the abandoned novel, memoir, and philosophical essay.
It's like watching an artist work in real time, showing us his process rather than hiding it.
The fragmented approach mirrors the theme of reconstructing meaning after crisis.
Vonnegut includes actual excerpts from the failed Timequake 1, showing us what didn't work and why.
Metafictional element adds another layer. We're reading about the struggle to write the book we're reading.
His use of repetition is masterful. Key phrases and ideas circle back, gaining weight through recurrence.
The dialogue feels natural, lived in. These characters talk like real people, not literary constructs.
Vonnegut's handling of time shifts is particularly skilled. Past and present flow together smoothly.
He's always been good at making complex ideas accessible, and that skill serves him well here.
The humor is gentler than in his earlier work, but still sharp when it needs to be.
He can still skewer pretension and cruelty, but there's more warmth toward human frailty.
The pacing allows for reflection. He's not rushing toward plot points, but giving ideas room to breathe.
This works because the real drama is internal, the struggle to find meaning and purpose in later life.
Let's consider the context. This was published in 1997, when Vonnegut was 75.
He'd already announced his retirement from novel writing several times. This felt like a genuine farewell.
The 1990s were a complicated time for American literature. Postmodernism was evolving, new voices were emerging.
Represents an earlier generation trying to make sense of how the world had changed.
The book was received as a minor work compared to his classics, but I think that misses its achievement.
It's not trying to be Slaughterhouse Five. It's something different, more personal, more vulnerable.
In the context of his full career, it serves as both summary and departure.
He's looking back at themes he explored throughout his work, but with the wisdom of age.
The influence has been subtle, but real. Later writers have borrowed this blend of memoir and fiction.
It anticipated some of the auto-fiction trends we see in contemporary literature.
Historically, it captures a particular moment in American consciousness, the end of the Cold War, pre-9/11 anxiety.
There's a sense of one era ending without knowing what comes next.
Vonnegut had lived through so much history, the Depression, World War II, the Cold War.
This book reflects the perspective of someone who had seen multiple cycles of hope and disillusionment.
In terms of genre, it's hard to classify. It's memoir, science fiction, literary fiction, philosophy.
That generic flexibility might have hurt its initial reception, but makes it more interesting now.
Let's wrap up with our honest assessment. What works brilliantly about this book?
The voice is masterful. Vonnegut sounds like himself, but deeper, more reflective than in his earlier work.
The central metaphor of the timequake is genuinely powerful. It crystallizes so many philosophical questions.
And the emotional honesty is remarkable. This isn't a celebrity memoir full of self-justification.
What doesn't work as well?
Structure can feel genuinely rambling at times. Some readers will find it too loose, too unfocused.
And if you're looking for conventional plot and character development, you'll be disappointed.
But I think those apparent weaknesses are actually integral to what Vonnegut is trying to do.
Who should read this book? Anyone interested in how a great writer thinks about legacy and meaning?
Readers who appreciate experimental forms and aren't bound by genre expectations will find a lot here.
What will stay with listeners long after they finish?
The sense of a writer taking full responsibility for his choices while maintaining compassion for human limitation.
And that final message from Kilgore Trout. You were sick, but now you're well again, and there's work to do.
It's ultimately hopeful, despite everything. We have agency, we have choice, and that matters.
Thanks so much for this conversation, Michael. This has been Literary Conversations.